Well, last week, Randy and I began our study through the book of Ruth. Randy started us off talking about the historical setting of Ruth in the days when the judges ruled. And that is after their faithful leader Joshua died. Israel was stuck in this sin cycle, and the end of the Judges, book of Judges, leaves us with this picture of hopelessness for the fractured collection of the Israelite tribes. And Ruth gives us a bright, hopeful message in contrast to that dark background. But the story doesn't seem to give us a lot of hope right from the start. It works up to it. In the first video, I also stated 8 different themes and topics that we're going to try to cover through the series. And in this video, I want to cover one of the themes and one of the topics. First, we'll do a quick overview of the characters' names and their meanings, and then I'm going to attempt to show through Ruth chapter 1 that Ruth, as a character, exemplifies a Hebrew term for kindness called hesed or kesed. Before I move on, though, I want to tell everybody that is watching this video series to read the book of Ruth. I would prefer that you stop here in the video and read at least the first chapter for now, but if you're able to do it right now, add it to your to-do list later, because the most important part of a Bible study is studying the Bible. If you have read through the book of Ruth, you know that there are only a handful of people that are actually named, not including the genealogy at the end. The genealogy is going to be handled in a later video, but the names that we're going to look at now are just the names mostly from the first chapter, and then Boaz and Obed. First, we meet the man named Elimelech. His name means, "My God is King." Naomi, her name means pleasant. She later changes her name to Mara, which means bitterness. Machlon, which means sick. Kilion, which means pining or wasting away. Orpah, which means gazelle. Ruth, which means friendship. And Boaz means fleetness, which means swift. And Obed, which means serving or worshiping. Some of these names seem odd, like sick and wasting away, but these may just be representative of the surroundings that these two sons were born in. While Elimelech and Naomi might have been born during one of the more peaceful and settled times in the book of Judges, so that they were given more pleasant names, Machlon and Kilion may have been born during one of the more bleak portions of the sin cycle. That would also explain why during their lifetime they have a famine happening. I can't offer an explanation as to why Boaz, Ruth, and Orpah were given their names, but Ruth's name matches her virtue and her character. Boaz is a strong name in contrast to Machlon and Kilion. Later it is also going to be the name of one of the pillars in Solomon's temple. And finally, Obed's name, it fits the time of rejoicing at the end of the book for Naomi. They experience joy at the end of the book, and in their joy, they name this child to fit the time of rejoicing and worshiping in their appreciation to God for the blessings that He's given to them. The name that I haven't commented on yet is Mara, but that's where I want to pick up this concept of hesed. After Naomi experienced the famine in Israel, she lost her husband and both of her sons in Moab, and tried to send both of her daughters-in-law back home to their parents to find new husbands, she returned to Bethlehem when she heard that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. She came back home to find that the people questioned whether they really knew this woman or not anymore. After the last 10 years, those years were hard for Naomi. So when she returned, they asked, "Is this Naomi?" She replies to them, "Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then do you call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" This is where I need to be reminding myself to try to be sympathetic toward Naomi, because in my mind, Ruth is standing right there next to Naomi as she makes this statement. Does Ruth matter to her mother-in-law at all? I realize that Naomi, I don't get Naomi's complete picture. I don't fully understand the gravity of her situation because we're separated by boundaries of time and geography, culture and gender, and etc. But it doesn't seem like she gives Ruth enough credit for coming with her. Naomi looks at her situation feeling hopeless, but Ruth willingly followed her back to Bethlehem, giving up a less risky future in Moab. After Mahlon died, her husband, she could have gone home to her parents and had their help to arrange a marriage to a Moabite man. She's also renounced the Moabite gods to take Jehovah as her god, even though Naomi appears to have been cursed by him. While I was studying this, I had to ask myself, why did Ruth do this? Why would she give so much for Naomi? As I struggled to come up with the answer, there's no apparent benefit to her at all to go with Naomi to Bethlehem. The only reason that I can find that Ruth would ever go with Naomi to Bethlehem is because she loved her. All the words that are used to describe Ruth and all the words that she speaks demonstrate her character and this chesed kindness. In verse 8, when Naomi blesses Ruth and Orpah before she tries to send them back to their parents' houses, she said, "The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." That word kindly is chesed. Ruth dealt kindly with her mother-in-law. Even after Orpah leaves, Ruth stays. In chapter 1, verse 14, "And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her." Naomi pleads with Ruth to go home after Orpah left, but Ruth pledges with full understanding of her words to leave everything behind and take a new life to stay by Naomi's side. She says in verses 16 and 17, "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where you die, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part you and me." And Naomi finally had to cave when she saw Ruth's determination. She saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Naomi doesn't realize it yet, but this woman, Ruth, is how God is going to bless her, the entire nation of Israel, and ultimately the entire world. Ruth demonstrates zealous, determined love and kindness towards Naomi, and she is a vital link in the promise given to David to fulfill God's chesed, his zealous, determined love and kindness toward his people through his son Jesus. By the end of this series, Randy and I will try to build a more complete picture of Ruth, connecting the time of the judges to the time of King David and God's covenant with him. But one last note for this video. Also note the last verse of chapter 1, verse 22. So Naomi and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. God has already begun to show his chesed to Naomi through Ruth, but that is just the beginning of the blessings. As she walks with Ruth back to Bethlehem, we can see the clear contrast between the time of the famine when she left to now while they are walking along ripe fields of barley. And that is where Randy will pick up next week and be talking about gleaning and harvesting and how that fits into the book of Ruth.